join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is the University President, Dr. Stephen Jones. The title of his message is Getting to Know God. The text is from Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24.
All right, it's a blessing to see you all back. We've been praying for you throughout the summer. Every day when we would meet with the administrators, we would pray for you students who are away, for victory over the summer, for protection, for those of you who are working to make money, that the Lord would show His provision and show His faithfulness to you, and that He'd bring you safely back. And so we're rejoicing that you're here. Good to see you returning students back, and great to have you new students. How many of you, this is your first semester here? Just slip up your hand, your first semester as a student. Tremendous. Well, we're very glad to have you here. Welcome to the university. We trust it'll be a fantastic semester of growth, learning, and growing fellowship with other believers. Let me cover a couple things just to help you get oriented. When you come in for chapel, bring your Bibles, please. How many of you have your Bibles this morning? All right. If you go to your biology class, as long as the campus store didn't run out of the textbooks before you got there, you take your biology textbook. Your Bible is going to be the textbook in here, so please bring it. Just that should be a standard thing. And then follow along. Maybe bring a pad of paper that you can be taking notes on. File away, however, you know, or stuff in the Bible. Save up until it's full, and then go back through and file the ones that you definitely want to keep and look back through. Tonight, we're going to have the opening evangelistic meeting. Evangelist Mark Kittrell will be here, looking forward to his ministry. He was a youth evangelist for numerous years. If you all have ever been involved with the war or the Coca-Cola Wars, any of those things, he was here as a staff member at the university and traveled with the Minutemen team who put on those wars for a number of years. Then he became an independent evangelist. He pastored for a few years in Hawaii, and now he's back in the States as a traveling evangelist, independent as well. He's going to be here tonight, and know the Lord will greatly use evangelist Mark Kittrell. Let's do be praying for all of the folks down south who were affected by the Hurricane Katrina. Pray for the churches that are down there. There are about 9 graduates who pastor in Mississippi, Alabama areas that were affected. We have some in the student body here from the Louisiana area. So let's do be praying. The president yesterday said it is one of the worst natural disasters in U.S. history. Much devastation, much hurt, much loss, and much need spiritually. Now, obviously, New Orleans has a reputation as a very carnal place and has earned that reputation, but it just goes to show there's great spiritual need. So let's pray that in the midst of that darkness and in the midst of the disaster that they've now gone through, hearts will be tender and testimony will be bold from believers who are there. If you think your pastor might be interested, your home pastor might be interested in doing something, having your church involved in some outreach, so long as it's tied to gospel ministry down there as well, have your pastor email Dr. McAllister's office. There is a man formerly a pastor who is now into relief for the sake of testimony. He was involved heavily in taking and sending water purifiers over after the tsunami. And now he's organizing some construction materials, relief efforts through churches and things down there in that area. So Dr. McAllister can forward an email with the address and contact information to your pastor if you'll ask your pastor to contact his office so that we can coordinate the efforts and get it to someone we know is interested, not just in the human relief side, which is wonderful, it needs to be done, but even more importantly, that will then open the door for great witness and many people coming to Christ. All right, this morning, want to kind of set the tone. This semester, this first semester, at least these first few weeks, the Lord's burdened me in a certain direction. And I want to take a number of chapels to go that direction. But let me ask you this first. Well, let me tell you what I saw the other night. My wife was taking care of the baby the other evening and had the TV on to another special about Princess Diana. You know, they come on at least quarterly. And this is one I think we've seen once or twice already before, but still interesting, being replayed and still hear things about her and her life, the family situation, sad as that was. But one thing that was interesting the other night is when people were coming on to give a segment, a testimony about what they knew of Princess Diana, who they were. You know, they put the name there and how the person was related to her. And some of them were very menial, you know, a dressmaker or hat maker, somebody who took part in wardrobing her for public settings, or her personal secretary, or somebody who was attending her. Some of them were, you know, we would have called them last century servants. They were just there to wait on her. But suddenly, in the wake of the tragedy, they became very important people. The media sought them out for their testimonies. You know, what did she say to you? Did she ever talk about her feelings about her family, her husband, her sons? What were her desires for the boys? What would she take joy in them doing? You know, asking questions like that. Did she ever share things with you? What were those last days like? And that suddenly brought very average people in some cases to prominence. And they're seen again and again and again as those are replayed. But let me ask you this. Who is somebody that you would really enjoy getting to know? Maybe you'd consider it a privilege if you had an opportunity to meet the President of the United States. I would. I mean, that'd be a pretty overwhelming experience. Maybe it's somebody that you know of, that you esteem highly, you know, that you've seen very often, maybe an anchor person on the news. I don't know what would be an important person to you. But if you had an opportunity, the privilege to meet that person, what would it be like? Now, if you really wanted to get close to that person, to find out what makes them tick, what kind of burdens do they carry? What kind of struggles do they have? How would you open that relationship? Really, there's not much you could do. I mean, if you were meeting the president or the Queen of England or something like that, the basic thing you would need to do is learn the protocols. What are you supposed to call him or her so you don't have a social faux pas and embarrass yourself? What are the protocols? But then beyond that, you'd basically just be there to show interest, to be available, to be eager to hear, to listen, to watch, to observe. But in order for you to truly know that person, to get close to that person, they'd have to take the step, wouldn't they? They'd have to decide, okay, I'm going to share my heart with this person for some reason. Some reason I want to bring this person closer as a friend, not just a casual acquaintance or first-time meeting. The higher the office, probably the more guarded that person's going to be. The less likely it would be that she or he would open up to you or to me. It would take their initiative. They'd have to open that relationship. But what if they did that? And what if they pulled you aside out of the group that you might be visiting with? And they said, you know, I'd really like to get to know you. Let's talk. What if they started bringing you into their confidence, things that they were dealing with, things they would like you to pray for if they know you're a believer, to help them with, seeking your advice, or maybe even saying, you know, I'm going somewhere on Air Force One next week. Would you like to accompany me? You know, how long would it take to give an answer to that? Oh, yeah, I mean, it'd be worth it just to walk up the steps of Air Force One. But to accompany you somewhere as your guest would be a thrill. It'd be a joy. What if they gave you that opportunity? And what if they said something like this? What if they said, can I have the privilege? Will you allow me to give you a call when I have something I want to talk about? Will you allow me to just continue this relationship? You know, again, if it's somebody you admire, you wouldn't have to think twice before answering that. You'd say, yes, I'd love for there to be a closer relationship like that. But again, it would depend on them, on their initiative. But the amazing thing is, however much you would enjoy getting to know President Bush or Queen Elizabeth, the amazing thing is, God has opened up that relationship to us. Almighty God, who didn't have to make himself available, chose to. He set down his heart, his mind, his will, in his word, that we can know him. He has opened the doors that we may come in, come close through Jesus Christ, his Son, as he cleanses us from our sins. We become sons and daughters of God. We're children of God. What an amazing privilege. Now, if President Bush said to you, will you allow me to bring you into my confidence? Will you allow me to have your friendship? You'd say yes. But do you share that same kind of openness, that same kind of eagerness to know God as you would if someone important in this life gave you that privilege? Well, God took the initiative. Genesis 1:1 tells us in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He took the initiative in creating and putting revelation about himself in the creation. So so that the invisible things of God are clearly known by the things that we see, His eternal power and His Godhead. He took the initiative to show us Himself and His creation. He took the initiative to teach us about Himself in His Word. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by the Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. He revealed Himself. He set that down in a book that you and I are privileged to have in our own language to give us the opportunity to know Him. And really, the Bible is not about us. How do you view the Bible? I may have used this before here, but if your neighbor were watching you, say your roommate, were watching how and when you use your Bible, and maybe they've come from an unsaved family, maybe they don't have a Bible of their own, but if they said, you know, based on what I see in that person's life, I want to go get a Bible so I can use it that way. Based on what they know of you and how you use your Bible, where would they go in a bookstore to find a Bible? You know, some of them might say, well, I think it's probably going to be in the self-help section or the psychology section. Because really, that's the only time my roommate uses his Bible or her Bible, when they have a problem. That's the only time I see him reading it. So it's got to be in the self-help section. Because we treat the Bible very often like it exists for us. Like we are the great subject of Scripture, don't we? That's the only time we go there. But really, we're incidental. The Bible itself is revelation about God. He is the great subject of it. And He has given the privilege to us through the Word to draw close to Him, to know Him. Open your Bible, please, to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. And we'll look at verses 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What are you delighting in this morning? What are you desiring this morning? You know, these verses take aim at some of the things we're most likely to glory in, don't they? You know, maybe you have a good intellect. Maybe you know a lot about politics or something, and you can get on a subject that's familiar to you, and you love to show off, to boast in your knowledge about those things. Or maybe you have wealth. Maybe you've been a hard worker, you've stowed a lot away, and you love to tell people about all the holdings you have and how you've used that, or how your family has used that. But very often people tend to boast about their wealth. Or your strength. You know, maybe you take great pride in eating right and exercising right and having a good physique. And those are the things that, you know, if somebody comes up to you and says, what's your workout like? If they make the mistake of asking that, you'll take the next 30 minutes because you're proud of that. It means a lot to you. You boast about it. But what should we boast in? What should be the focus? What should be the object of our lives? Why are you here? And I'm not meaning just here at Bob Jones University. Why are you alive? Do you know what your main object is? What my main object should be as well? Our main object is to know God. And that is the core. That's the primary objective of Christian education. You can go anywhere and get subject knowledge, but you can't go anywhere to get subject knowledge that comes from the standpoint that says, first, before the subject, we got to deal with the spiritual side. We need to have someone who knows God. That's the primary objective of life, and it is the primary joy of life. If you think this morning, you know what? If we're going to talk about theology, it's irrelevant, it's boring, then obviously you've never taken the time to get to know God like His Word says. Because the more you know Him, the richer the subject of God becomes. The more thirsty you become to go back and know more of Him. The more He reveals to you, the more you want to see of Him. And it just continues to grow and grow and grow. And it is inexhaustible. The more you know of our infinite God in this life, the more you want to know of Him. And that's the reason Bob Jones University exists, to help young people, Christian young people, know their God. And then through the filter of what they know of their God, go out to serve Him, to represent Him, to imitate Him, to reflect Him in whatever calling He has put upon your life. Whatever He desires for you to do. That's what BJU exists for. That you know God. That's our burden. You know what? If you end this semester and you've gotten all A's, but you're no closer to God, you were a failure this semester. I was a failure this semester. If we don't know God more by the end of this semester than we knew Him at the start, we've missed the whole purpose of it. Because our main goal in life and our main joy in life is to know Him. And I'm not talking about knowledge about Him. You may be full of that. You may be from a Christian, you know, you went to Christian nursery school, all the way through Christian high school, whatever. You may have heard it all. You may know it all. You may have won quizzing contests, memorized hundreds of verses in 1 week of camp in order to get points for your team. You may know a lot about God, but that's totally useless unless you first know Him personally. And there's a big difference, isn't there? Turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, there is a big difference between knowing about God, even serving God, and knowing Him personally. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are people, obviously, who have a knowledge about Christ, about God, and they're even trying to do things in His name. But He knows those who are His. And He says of them, you may have been knowing about me, but you did not know me in personal relationship. And in that day they will depart with their heads hung low to eternal punishment. Because though they knew about God, they didn't know Him personally. Maybe you're here like that. Maybe everyone else around you expects that you're saved. Maybe they think you're saved. Maybe they think you're the best person they ever knew in their youth group or high school or homeschool group. Maybe you have a great testimony outwardly to them, but inside you know you don't have a personal relationship with God. You've never gotten even through the front door of His family. And for whatever reason, for pride, for embarrassment, you've never humbled yourself to be willing to say, I don't care if I have to go back to those people and say, forgive me for being a fraud, I never knew Him. But you never have taken that step into relationship with Him. And knowing about Him is completely different from knowing Him. And from what this passage is saying, there will be people in hell who knew much about God, but they weren't His children. This semester, for you, for me, our goal is to know God. And my burden at the start of the semester is to deal with who He is. Because you know what? If I know, if you know who He is, what He says about Himself in the Word that He revealed to teach us of Himself, if we know who He is, it tells us what we're to be, doesn't it? It tells us how we're to live. And it tells us how we're to understand this world around us. You know what? You, as believers, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're already several steps ahead of your secular counterparts. They may be studying the same subject. They may be even using the same textbook. But because they don't know the author of truth, they can't understand it as fully and deeply as you do. But do you know Him? And are you thirsty to know Him more? Because that's what we're here for. And if we get through the semester and we're no closer to the Lord, or Lord forbid, we're further away from Him than we were at the start, we have failed. Do you know Him? Not about Him, but do you know Him personally? And do you know Him as He reveals Himself in His Word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this new semester ahead of us. We thank you for the privilege to gather here each day, to open your word, to orient ourselves, to be in proper relationship with you. We pray if there are those here as students now who aren't truly regenerated, they've never come to Christ and repented of their sins and put their faith in Him, that today would be the day in which they come into your family and they know you personally. Lord, for those who are saved, who may have been in good Christian homes, reared with much knowledge of you, but really aren't living it and applying it, and certainly aren't enjoying it, we pray, Father, that in our hearts this semester you would do a work, draw us close to you, make us thirsty for you, and give us the privilege through your word to know you better, that we can live for you as we ought.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University President, Dr. Stephen Jones. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.